The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Well, the Palmer will be speaking Wednesday night. My wife and I will be heading out of town for about 3 or 4 days just to kind of get away and just be able to enjoy each other's company. And we look forward to doing that. So he'll be speaking Wednesday night. He'll be speaking on I Must Tell Jesus. And of course, he's already telling me about the message. It's going to be a fantastic message. Don't you miss hearing him speak. How many of you have never heard Brother Palmer speak? Raise your hand if you will. All right, look, you come. You come, all of you, even those of you that have heard him before, and you be in church Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, I Must Tell Jesus. And so that's going to be a fantastic message that you won't want to miss. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, where the Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but," watch what it says, "will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." So God is not saying that you will not be tempted. God is saying that when temptation does come, he has already planned a way for you to escape, all right? And so let's talk about this morning, if we can, common temptations conquered, or conquering, if you would please, conquering common temptations, all right? So how is it that we can conquer common temptations? You know, many years ago, you know this to be true, as we were attacked here in the United States. It was on September the 11th, 2001, and when airplanes flew into New York and hit, of course, the Twin Towers, and what a tragedy that was, as over 3,000 people had lost their lives in that tragic attack. I remember living in Brooklyn, New York for many years, my wife and I, and one of the things that we did as we lived there is we would tour groups that would come to New York City. It seemed like that it was the hot spot for people to come and bring their juniors and seniors. And so every year, juniors and seniors would come to New York City, and they always wanted to go to different places, but one of those places was the Twin Towers. And so one of those Twin Towers, you could go up on and you'd be able to go into the sky area and be able to look out over the city. And so we had been to those buildings many, many times. Matter of fact, two of the young people that was in our youth department worked in those towers as young adults as it was attacked. And of course, thank the Lord, one of them got a call and didn't go in that morning, but rescheduled and went in the next morning, was going to, and so he wasn't in there at all, and the other one got out safe, and so we praise the Lord for that. But can I tell you that what happened after that was amazing, because according to the attackers, that was not just the Twin Towers that was going to be attacked, but of course the Pentagon, and also they thought that one was going to fly into the actual White House. And so over the White House, that which was the Federal Aviation Administration decided that they were going to make it a safe area over the White House whereby pilots could not fly over the White House. And it was going to become a very restricted area. That took place. It's still that way today. But for 18 months, pilots had to get used to that. Matter of fact, during that period of 18 months, they said that over 100 times that it was breached. In other words, 100 times it was not obeyed, and people just, now they weren't doing it wrong as far as in their mind, you know. And so what they did, the Federal Aviation Administration decided that those that fly frequently over the White House was going to have to go in for special training. And so they sent these pilots that have routes, normal routes that would fly over the White House, they sent them in for special training to show them and to kind of get them into groove so that they would not fly over the space that was supposed to be protected and was never supposed to be flown through again. And so they sent them to a special school, they gave them special training, and then after that, they had no more problems whatsoever. And here's what I find out in our Christian life. If we do not receive the special training when it comes to temptation, we too are going to find ourselves entrapped in temptations over and over and over again. You say, "Well, preacher, what special school could I go to be able to overcome temptations?" I've got one I suggest very strongly called Parkside Baptist Church, okay? I suggest that you put yourself here every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night to hear the Bible so that it can strengthen you and help you to retrain yourself so that you do not step into those areas of temptation over and over and over again. The word temptation simply means testings. And so there's going to come times when you're going to be tested over and over again. But God said, with every testing that the devil sends your way, he's going to make a way to escape. Now, can I tell you, there's been great men that have been tested. I remember the story of Elijah over in James chapter 5 and in verse 17. The Bible says Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. So Elijah also subject to like passions as we are. You'll read that about our Lord, and I'll give it to you in just a moment, but you'll see that here Elijah had like passions as we. Here Elijah, a man as we are, had like weaknesses such as you and I have. But can I tell you, there was a day when Elijah prayed. And Elijah prayed, and the Bible says that God withheld the rain for 3.5 years. You remember that? Then after 3.5 years, he prayed again, and it rained upon the earth. All right? So here was a man that had great temptations. If you would please, we could call him a crooked stick, but God uses crooked sticks. God uses people that's not perfect. God uses people that do have hang-ups. God uses people that do have challenges in their life. Don't you ever let the devil put in your mind that God cannot use you because of your past. There's not one person sitting in this room this morning that does not have a past. Say, how do you know that, preacher? Because you're still here. You're still here. You have a past. Some of you are older. That means you have more past. Some of you are younger. You have less past. But everybody has a past. Now, let me give you some things about temptation this morning. May I do it? You know, there is a common temptation to all of us. By the way, even our blessed Lord was tempted. Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 15, the Bible says, for we have not, it says, an high priest that cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And so even the Lord Jesus Christ had a place of temptation, but yet he did not suffer himself to be tempted. You see here that Elijah that I spoke about just a little bit ago, he underwent temptation. Think about Abraham. Abraham, called the father of the faithful, called the father of God's people, much like George Washington is considered the father of our nation, there was Abraham. Abraham, considered, if you would please, by God himself as the father of the faithful. You remember him. You remember Abraham. Abraham left his home, left his homeland, left his security. Abraham left his possessions, left his job. What did he do? He left all those things to go and to find a city whose builder and ruler is God, but he didn't know where it was. He stepped out by faith, knowing, I know that, God, you ever do that? I know God wants me to maybe leave something, but I don't know where I'm going, okay? And that's what the story of Abraham was like. Abraham stepped out, knew that he was supposed to do something, did not quite know what it was, but later on, Abraham lied because he was afraid that his life would be taken because he had a beautiful wife. By the way, I've got a beautiful wife. But you know, he was somebody that felt like that he was going to be overtaken and killed. And because of that, he lied and said that his wife was his sister. Now, what happened? Fear filled his life. And because of that, he lied. You think about Samson. Samson was the mightiest man in his day. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Samson, his name meant sunshine. So everywhere Samson went, people could see the glow. I mean, he was just sunshine. I mean, he would run across the tops of the hills, and people would say, hey, here comes Samson. Or somebody might say, hey, here comes sunshine. I mean, you know, he just had now Samson does sound a little bit more masculine, if you would please, than Sunshine. But anyway, and so here he was, and so Samson was a mighty man. I mean, Samson had God's power that would rest upon him. Oh, you remember Samson. Samson would take on military men after military men. I mean, Samson was the one that broke off the door from the hinges, and a mammoth door, and traveled a great distance with it upon his shoulder. Oh, Samson was a mighty man. Samson was a man where the Spirit of God did rest upon. He was probably one of the greatest judges at that time that ever judged Israel. But yet there was a day when Samson was behooved, if you would please, and was deceived by that which was Delilah, and he laid down that which was his stature, his commitment, his standard, and he lost his power because of that. Now, wait a minute. Samson succumbed to temptation. You think about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, great preacher. The Apostle Paul, great evangelist. The Apostle Paul, great missionary. The Apostle Paul, great church planner. The Apostle Paul, great penmanship for our Lord. I mean, just a great writer for our Lord. Great soul winner. The Apostle Paul could go in to a preacher's meeting and set the atmosphere electronic because of the fact, I mean electric, he was plugged in, but electric just because of the fact of who he was. I mean, that was the Apostle Paul. I'm talking about just used in a phenomenal way. He preached long and he preached hard. Amen. I'm telling you, if the Apostle Paul was here tonight, he was preaching in my stead, you would not be getting out by 7:30. You would not be getting out by 8:30. You might not even get out by 9:30. You could possibly get out by 10:30. It would not surprise me if you get out by 11:30 or 12. He was always long-winded in his preaching. He was always hard in his preaching. He preached against the customs of that day. He preached about not going in bondage. He preached about not following or observing that which is seasons or days or holy times. But yet you hear the Apostle Paul as he would be able to talk to the church at Colossae, where he says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, he says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or respect of a holy day or a new moon or the Sabbath day, which are the shadow of things to come, but the body of Christ. So he preached very, very straightforward about these things. But don't forget, the Apostle Paul, all of a sudden you see him going back into Judaism. All of a sudden you see him going back, if you would please, to that which is the Judas legalism of that day. He shaved his head. You know, he went backwards there for a little bit. And can I tell you what happened? I'll tell you what happened. He was overcome by a temptation. You know, temptations come to common men. Oh, you take Peter. You know, Peter, some people say he was the first pope. That's what some people say. But, you know, they say that popes were and have never been allowed to marry. Well, I'd sure hate to be Peter if I was the first pope and I had a mother-in-law without a wife. He had a mother-in-law. But can I tell you, he wasn't the first pope, so that's not true. But Peter was a great man of God. He was an apostle. You think about Peter, it was not John, James, and Peter. It was always Peter, James, and John. He was always the spokesman of the inner, what we call the inner circle or the inner core disciples. He was one of the three that was chosen to go to the Mount of Transfiguration. He was definitely on the inside. But there was a day when Peter also backslid. There was a day when Peter was overcome by temptation. There was a day when Peter got mad. There was a day when Peter swore. There was a day when Peter denied the Lord. There was a day when he said, I'm no longer a fundamentalist. There was a day when Peter backed off. Now, good news is 55 days after Peter backslid, God passed up all the other disciples. Stay with me now. God passed up all the other disciples, and Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. And don't sit there and tell me, well, somebody got backslid, and boy, it's going to take him a whole year in order to be able to get right with me because they hurt me. Well, if the Lord forgave somebody in 55 days, then what's our excuse? If the Lord restored somebody to preach on the day of Pentecost, the greatest sermon that was ever recorded, then why do you think that you're better than the Lord? You say, but my wife, she gets under my skin. Well, move your skin. But forgive someone. Amen. Forgive your husband. Forgive your child. Let God have a chance. I think sometimes we pretend to be a greater God than we let God be in our lives, because after all, we want judgment and we want this. And can I tell you, let God be the one that decides how long a judgment should come. Here's what we understand. We understand this, that Peter, who did deny the Lord later on, preached a great sermon that you find there on the day of Pentecost. What about Moses? Moses there at the burning bush. Moses there as he watched that burning bush that was being burned but yet not consumed. Moses that had God to speak to him through that burning bush. What about Moses? What about Moses? What about Moses who went to Egypt, if you would please, and was used of God to be able to show the plagues that were to come? What about Moses that went and he crossed the wilderness and was leading the children of Israel? What about Moses that led the children of Israel for 40 years across the backside of the desert and walked with God? And what about Moses that stood there one day as that Egyptian army was coming down, and he stood and there was the Red Sea before him, and he obeyed God, and he was able to put his staff, and all of a sudden the Red Sea parted, and he went over on dry ground, got on the other side, and now all of a sudden that water closes in on that Egyptian army and drowns all of those men. Hey, what about Moses that God used with those 10 plagues prior to that? What about Moses that God used to be able to deliver the 10 commandments, but yet God told Moses, hey, here's what I want you to do. I want you not to be angry or not to strike the rock, if you would please, with anger. But he did. He struck it, and he struck it twice. And when he did, God said, you're not going to enter into that which is the promised land. Can I tell you, Moses was tempted by his own anger, and because of that, he lost the blessing. What about Job? Job was perfect and upright before men. Job was a great man. Job, it was that the devil came and talked to the Lord and said to the Lord, let me go ahead and take care of him. And he said, well, you can do anything you want to him, but you just can't take his life. What about all the temptations that came upon Job? And Job stood the test, and Job stood the test, and Job stood the test. But later on, if you'll read the book of Job and you'll read it in detail, he got a little bit cocky. He got a little bit arrogant. Now, I'm saying he was overtaken by temptation. What about Noah? Noah, the best man, if you would please, if we were comparing men to men, which we ought not, but just to say, probably on the earth at that time. He was righteous in God's sight. Noah, if you would please, the Bible says he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He preached in front of a mocking people. He established the principles of God without compromise in front of those people. God used him to build the ark. And as he built that ark, and his children were working, and his wife was working with him on that ark, and later on, God gave him the victory. They walked in the ark, and God shut the door, and God delivered him and his wife and his children and whatnot. And you see that God did that in a wonderful way. But later on, here's what you find out. Noah built an ark for God. Noah got off the ark and he built an altar to God. But later on, Noah decided he wanted to build something for himself. And he did. He built himself a vineyard, and he went in and he got drunk in his own vineyard. Hey, why did he do that? I'll tell you why he did that. He got tempted. What about Elijah later on in his life? Elijah called down fire from heaven. Elijah, if you would please, stood there at the prophets of Baal. Think about it. But then later on, he runs from a woman, hides himself underneath a juniper tree, and says, I wish that I never would have been born. I wish I would die. What happened? He got tempted. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying our Lord Jesus faced temptation. Abraham faced temptation. Samson faced temptation. Paul faced temptation. Peter faced temptation. Moses faced temptation. Job faced temptation. Noah faced temptation.
Elijah faced temptation, and the list goes on. By the way, I've eaten with some of the greatest preachers of our common day. I've had the privilege to sit in a room with them. I've had a privilege to maybe, in some cases, even sit at the same table and us fellowship together. And can I tell you, every man I have ever known has had problems with temptation. Let me tell you, there was a day when Dr. Ironside, Harry S. Ironside, preaching a huge conference in Chicago, great preacher of that day, somebody told him he had a cough, and he just had this cough. He just kept coughing and coughing. You know the story? He had a cough, and somebody said, if you'll just go and you just smoke one Kool cigarette. It was a brand of cigarettes called Kool. It was K-O-O-L, Kool. If you'll just go smoke one of those Kool cigarettes, you can take away your cough, and you'll be able to preach with great clarity. Oh, it was just terrible. He was getting up, his voice was all clogged in. So he thought, man, I got to do something. I'll do it for medicinal purposes. And so he went over and he found a pack and he bought a pack. And he was nestled down between two trains and he lit that thing up. And all of a sudden, Dr. John R. Rice walked up behind him and tapped him on the shoulder. And he said, Harry, what are you doing? He put it out just like that, stomped on it. And said, I'm just so sorry. Now, wait a minute. What happened? I'm going to tell you what happened. He was overcome by temptation.
Yes. Amen.
Now, I can tell you time and time again stories related in the Bible and stories that's related in common man stories that I personally know about. Okay, that people were overcome by temptation. Let me give you some things to think about this morning. I said that there is a common temptation that all of us have. Even our Lord was tempted. But statement number two, you can always find help for your temptation.
Amen.
You can find help for your temptation. I want us to go back to that verse one more time, if we may, where the Bible says, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, the Bible says, there have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Now, I gave you illustration after illustration about common men that had problems with temptation. The Bible says, but God is faithful. Now, everybody can attest and say, God is faithful.
Amen.
Come on, God is faithful. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
God is faithful. The Bible says, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able. He said, I'm going to give you the ability. Now, by the way, most of the ability that God gives you and I, dear friend, is in common sense. Most of the ability that God gives us is to have the wisdom not to go into places or do things whereby we put ourselves in a situation where we're overcome by temptation. The Bible says, who will not suffer you to be tempted above your able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. I always used to look at this verse, and I always pictured when I saw this verse, to be honest with you, I always pictured a submarine. I don't know why, but every time I read this verse, I picture a submarine. And I would picture that, you know, and I don't like closed-in things. I don't know what you call that. I don't even know if there's a word for it, but thank you, claustrophobia, because you, I probably both have it. But in closed areas, that bothers me. You know, I mean, when I die, I'm going to ask my wife, please bury me in an open casket. Amen? You know, but clothes, I'm glad, okay, that, you know, before my body hits the ground, my soul will be in heaven. I'm so glad about that. That's my escape. He's provided that for me. And so, but man, you know, when I get in areas like that, that claustrophobicness kind of sets in, if you will, and I've got to be careful to focus on different things, you know, and I don't have a problem when the elevator door shuts. It's not that bad or anything like that. But I've given the illustration when I was over in Thailand, and all of a sudden I was in the backseat of the car, and I had these little, and the guys, you know, these Thai guys, they're all got these small bodies, you know. And so I had two guys on this side of me in the backseat and two guys on this side of me in the backseat, and I'm nestled in the middle with my big body, and they're all squished up, you know. And then there's guys in the front, and I was the main speaker at these different places. They were carrying me around, and these were preachers, and and they wanted to be with me, and I thought, this is great, you know, fellowship, and I didn't understand a word they were saying, but, you know, they just wanted to be with me, and so I'm sitting in the back seat, and all of a sudden it closed in. Woo! I mean, that just closed in, and you can feel it when it's coming on. Man, it closed in on me. And I tapped this guy up here that was on the passenger side because I knew he spoke English, and the guy driving, he didn't speak a lick of English. So I tapped him, and I said, you better pull over. He said, no, we're going to be late for the meeting. We can't pull over. I said, if you don't pull over, we're not going to no meeting. I said, pull this thing over. He said, preacher, we can't. I said, if you don't pull this over, I'm going to throw up all over you. Now, you better pull this thing over. So he pulled that thing over, and boy, I got out of that car, and I was walking around like this, and I'm heaving up, and I tell you, I was so disturbed, and after a while, they came over, and they were over here fellowshipping. I mean, they didn't no more care. I was throwing up in all the world. They're over there fellowshipping. I heard them cutting jokes and all this other stuff, and I'm thinking, here, I'm over here dying. I mean, my insides are now coming out. I'm dying over here. You know, these guys over here laughing and cutting up. I saw one of the guys point to me and ha, 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 ha. You know, I thought, I know what it is. It wasn't that claustrophobic. They poisoned me. These are probably communists or something. I don't know. And so, but I'm saying this. I'm saying that there is a common help. Now, you can't always get common help, stay with me now, out of man. But you can always get common help out of God. When temptation times come, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 13, he says, I can do all things through man which strengtheneth me. Well, that is not what it says. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Somebody says, somebody told me the other day, they said, preacher, you know it's lonely at the top. I said, yeah, I know that. It's also lonely at the bottom. It's also lonely in the middle. Loneliness is not a position that you take. Loneliness is an attitude you possess. You can be lonely at the top, lonely at the bottom, or lonely in the middle. It doesn't matter where you are, but if you have the attitude of that, then that is what it is to you. I've seen people that's in a crowd. There's people, no doubt, that's in a crowd here this morning. You're here. There's people all around you. You sniff real good. You can smell them. That's supposed to be funny. Thank you for laughing late. I appreciate it. But there's a crowd here. Okay, now wait a minute. You know, there's some people in a crowd that sometimes feels lonely. Sure it is. Now, I'm saying this. Here's what the Bible says, that there is a common help. Now, the Bible says, woe unto you that walk alone, for when he falleth, he hath not another to help him up. So it is better to find somebody that is physically there. I thank you, Brother Jonathan and Heather and the youth workers and all the teenagers that came. I counted 72, I think, yesterday with everybody gathered together that was a part of that youth deal that you had. And I wanted to get a picture, and he was probably already planning on doing this anyway, but you know, I got them together and I took a picture, and then I went last night as I was going through the pictures, and I was looking at each young person's face. All different backgrounds, all different goals and dreams and visions in life. All many, if you would please, coming from different types of society, but yet all of them there serving Jesus Christ. And no doubt when this person as a teenager looked over and saw this person as a teenager, no doubt that encouraged them. You know, we have America for Christ that goes out on Saturday afternoons, and they go to the deep part of Dallas on the other side, and they go to what I would call the hood. And they go in, and can I tell you, they have a great desire to see people saved, and those that's connected into that ministry is seeing God do some miraculous things. Lives are being changed, people are being saved, a neighborhood. After a while, you will begin to see this, because I've seen this before, begins to change because Christ now is taking priority. Now, can I tell you, but there's great times when you have somebody walk beside you, but you won't always have that. Sometimes you'll wind up going soul winning by yourself. Sometimes I'll make a hospital run or go out door knocking all by myself. And can I tell you, sometimes they are lonely times. But during those lonely times, understand there's common help. That common help we find in Jesus Christ. You and I are blessed because we've got a wonderful God. I said we're blessed because, hey, we are a Baptist church. You are allowed to say amen. We are blessed because we have a wonderful God. We're blessed because we have a wonderful church. We are blessed because we have the ability to be able to go and to help people. I'm saying that there's a common temptation that's taken to all of us. Even our Savior was tempted. Statement number two, there's common help. Let me give you this and I'm done. That the Lord provides that route of escape. Here's what it says, Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25. The Bible says, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. You ever see somebody that is stooped over because of the heaviness of the heart? I mean, really, when somebody gets a heavy heart, it changes even the stature in which they position themselves, sitting, walking. The Bible says the heaviness of the heart causes a man to stoop. You ever see that? Now, here's what it says. But it says, a good word maketh it glad. So what do you do when somebody has a stooping heart? You give them a good word. You know, you brag on them. Talk about them. Cheer them on. Encourage them. Help them to not stay focused on themselves, but put their focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Edward Straton was one of the very first professional photographers. One day, as a 9-year-old little boy, he went out and Edward bought his very first camera. His mama gave him money to be able to get film for the camera, and he took his very first 12 shots with the camera. He brought them back. He had them developed. He was excited to see the development of them, and he went and he picked them up, and he looked at them, and there was only one that you could actually see that wasn't a blur. Everything else was a blur. Oh, he was so sad, and he went back to mom, and mom was so excited. She said, hey, let me see those photos that you took. He says, mama, you don't want to see the photos. She said, let me see the photos that you took. He said, mama, you don't want to see the photos. Come on, let me see the photos you took. And she went through them, did not say a word, and then she came to the one that had what looked like some type of image. I mean, it looked like that, you know, it was better than all these other ones over here. And she held this one up and she said, look, that right there shows me that you one day are going to become an excellent photographer. He looked at his mom and said, are you seeing the same picture I'm seeing? And she said, look at all these here. This was probably your last one. And look how much you improved. And that was your first camera shoot. Just think what you're going to be 10 years from now. By the way, he went on to be able to take multiple pictures for all sorts of magazines and became known as one of the greatest photographers of his day because, he said, mom had confidence in me. Look, I'm saying this. I'm saying the Lord provides you a way to escape. Maybe he'll provide you a way to escape in a person. Come on. I've heard some preacher boys get up to preach, and boy, they get up and they begin to give it everything they got, and all of a sudden they fumble it. All of a sudden they stutter it. All of a sudden it seems like they get so nervous they cannot get it out anymore. And I'll meet with them afterwards and say, man, you did a great job. I had one preacher boy tell me, what do you mean I did a great job? Did you hear me? I said, yeah, I heard you. But you ought to have heard me the first time I ever preached. You ought to have heard me the first time I stood behind a pulpit. Man, you did a fantastic job. I can't imagine you starting at this age, me starting at the age that I started at, what God is going to do with you. Sometimes it just takes a word of encouragement. Sometimes it just takes, come on, we live in such a negative society. Everybody's always looking for that is not right, and that is not right, and that is not right, and that's why people have marriage problems. That's why children, as soon as they get old enough, they want to marry, and sometimes they even want to live, not even live in the same city of their parents, because why do I want to go back to mom and dad's house? They didn't believe in me. I'm saying this. I'm saying, look, the Lord provides a way to escape. Sometimes the Lord will provide you. Sometimes you're the one. You know, most husbands cannot make it without their wives. Come on. You're the cheerleader. Your husband gets up to teach Sunday school. I don't care if he messes up 90% of the Sunday school lesson. Look for that 10% that he said right and go up to him and say, hey, look, that one point that you made was absolutely fantastic. Man, I learned so much about. You don't think he already knows his mistakes? You don't think he already recognizes he blew it? But he needs somebody. Hey, listen, your wife gets up to sing and boy, she messes up. Everybody in the church knows she messed up. Somebody needs to walk beside her and say, honey, man, I thank God for you. You got up and you sang. What a wonderful blessing it was to me. Now, by the way, ladies, don't pick that apart. If your husband begins to compliment you, don't pick it apart. Well, tell me, what part did you like? What conglomerate of words did you like? What phrase did you like? How did God? No. Just take it as a general compliment and say, hallelujah, glory to God, my husband loves me. Amen. Amen. Look, I'm saying God provides a way to escape. Many times God will use another person. Many times. Come on. I called Jared up this morning. I told Jared, I said, he wasn't feeling well yesterday. He was sick all morning long. And then he finally drug himself out of bed and made himself come to help out in the youth department. And he looked really bad, you know. And I went up to him. I said, you're not looking good. Are you okay? And he said, Dad, I needed to come. It was my responsibility. But I tell you what, I don't feel good at all. And so I called him this morning. I said, how you doing? And he said, well, I'm a little better. I said, you gonna make it? He said, yeah, I think I'm going to make it. I said, buddy, I'm so proud of you. I don't know how many sons, you know, a dad would have that, or how many daughters a dad could have to be able to be proud of. But can I tell you, you've got my attention, and I love you, and I'm proud of you, and you're a bus captain. You're giving it everything you've got. Now, you know, can I tell you, listen, sometimes somebody just needs to hear stuff. They need to hear stuff. And it's not all about you. You see, your mom, you said, preacher, you're chasing a rabbit. And it's a big one, too. But you see your mom, and all of a sudden she's got poochy lip disease. Why don't you take that as God's way to get your attention to help your mom? You see your dad, he's under pressure, he's got poochy. Take that as God giving you a signal. It's time to help Dad for a while. See, it's not all about you. I'm saying this morning. I'm saying that God provides a way to escape. Sometimes he'll use people. But when people are not there for you, don't get down. Don't get discouraged. I cannot begin to tell you, coming from a different faith and coming from a different background religiously, all the problems and all the complications and all of the discouragements and all of the, and I learned at a very young age that it is just me and God. Now, if I get the other, that's brownie points. If I get the other, man, I tell you what, that's whipped cream on top of the pie. But I don't need that in order to survive, because I've learned to go deep with the Lord. And as you go deep with the Lord, dear friend, can I tell you, God can use you. And you can rely on him, and every single time he's going to make a way to escape. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for these dear.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.